All right.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to In Faith Network Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Watson, and I'm very happy to be back with you. I am looking forward to tonight's show because we have a very special guest. My guest tonight is a songwriter, recording artist, entertainer, performer, and now can add author to her repertoire. She has sold more than 3 million albums and singles worldwide. She's co-penned songs for numerous artists and has had one of her singles featured on a very popular TV show. She's established herself as a respected artist in the Christian, pop, alternative, and electric dance music genres. In fact, I heard her first hit song, Damaged, as a dance remix and became an instant fan. Her sixth studio album entitled Need You Now is also the title of her Christian song that topped the Billboard Christian Songs charts at number 5. Her new album, Exhale, releases May 5th, and her Ready Now tour will be kicking off in a few weeks. Her novel, Need You Now, A Story of Hope, is the story of beautiful and embarrassing moments on stage, the joys and trials of motherhood, unbridled forgiveness, soulmates, and a marriage redeemed. It gives me great pleasure tonight to welcome the incomparable Plum to the show tonight. Welcome, Plum.
Oh, my goodness. That's quite an introduction. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for being here tonight. And I know you're in an airport, but I am sure we will soldier on just fine.
Oh, yes. I apologize. I'm in the Austin airport, and there's no other option for me, so I have to be here.
That is quite okay.
Tucked myself away in a corner somewhere so I can get it as quiet as possible.
Well, with, again, so many pulls on your time, I'm very honored you're able to chat with me for a while. So for listeners out there that may not know your work, can you tell us just a little bit about yourself and how your music career in Plum got started?
Well, you did a really good job in your introduction. I've been doing music for next summer will be my 20-year anniversary of when I signed, so almost 20 years since I put out a record. My first record released in 97. And I basically grew up singing my whole life as more or less a hobby, something I enjoyed, but never, ever considered pursuing music as a career. It sort of found me. I was offered a record deal based on someone hearing me sing as a backup singer for someone, and the rest is history. And so there's been a lot of growth that's taken place, and I think it takes a while for an artist to really find their voice and their direction, and so sometimes that starts when they're 8 or 10. And so for me, although I've been singing my whole life, I feel like I kind of found my voice in the last couple of years. The majority of my career has been an adventure. I've just been sort of a risk taker and been willing to do whatever. It was nothing I planned, something that kind of found me. So I just had pretty little expectation of, okay, this is who I want to be. I've just been sort of surprised by the journey as it's come. But in the last couple of years, I've just had a lot more wisdom and direction as to who it is I am in Christ, who it is I am in music. And so in a way, although I've been around for, 18 years, I at the same
right.
time feel like I've only been around for a couple in a way. So here I am.
Right. And, I believe everyone has a spiritual gift that they're born with, and we're all here on earth to do greatness and allow God to work through us in order to touch others. And Plum, you knew early on that one of your spiritual gifts was to make people happy. As you said in your book, to crack open a can of joy and share it with anyone that was feeling down. Now, were there times when your own can of joy felt empty and in need of filling up? And if so, what did you do to replenish it?
That's a really excellent question. Absolutely. There's been times when you feel like it's robbed. And I think the most therapeutic thing, the knee-jerk reaction, if you will, as well, that has happened when those times have come is communication. Like, I've always been a communicator. I've wrote notes to my teachers. I wrote notes to my parents. It was always storytelling, talking, a bit of a chatty Kathy, but I just have to get it out. And so when those moments have come in my life, I've handled it with sharing, talking, finding a friend to talk to, or writing a song about it, writing a book, and just communicating, speaking, singing, performing, just getting it out, because I believe there's always hope. And even in the dark, you know, hope shines brightest there. And I think that's why I've always been kind of drawn to darker subject matters in some of my songwriting, because in those moments you truly feel helpless, but there really is always hope. And so to inspire someone to believe what is true, which is that there is always hope no matter what your circumstance may be, because, you know, I've spent some time in some pretty black, dark times in my own life, and the only thing that really kept me breathing in and out was that there was a belief that there was always hope, and God's always come through, and His mercies have always been new every morning. He's the God of infinite chances, and of complete, true forgiveness and redemption, and He doesn't waste anything. He can use it all, and we don't have to live in regret because of that, and it's us who misses out when we're not living and breathing, you know, in a relationship with Him. But because He's the God of infinite chances, it's never too late to start over. And so I've had to start over, you know, hundreds of times in my life. And so, I, you know, as you said, I grew up the baby in my family. I have one older brother, but in my extended family, my mom is one of eight children and my dad is one of six. And I was the youngest granddaughter on both sides. And so I was kind of expected to entertain everybody as I showed up as a baby. It's just, you know, oh, here she comes. And it's like this very large family sort of always anticipated my arrival because I was this, you know, youngest. And I just kind of filled the role of trying to be funny and trying to be joyful and trying to be happy. And you're right, there's times when you don't feel that way. And so I would just open up about it. And that's always been a healer for me. But I've just recognized, like, even in writing my book, there's a lot of self-discovery. As I wrote things down, I was like, although it's coming out of my head and my mouth and onto the page, like as it was happening, I was simultaneously kind of discovering, wait a minute, I think that's what I was created to do. I mean, although I've known that was a fact about myself, I've not always connected that was intertwined into who I was created to be. That I exist to give people hope, that because I believe there is always hope, I'm, you know, a vessel that God uses to say, hey, no matter what your circumstance may be, no matter what you've done, no matter who you are, no matter where you're at, you know, that nobody is perfect, including me. And, you know, everyone is welcome at the seat, of Jesus. And, you know, anything's possible, and forgiveness is infinite and unmeasurable. And you can't measure it. It's ongoing. And so I think sometimes we go through things where we feel like we've done something so bad or so far from God, or we're so wrong, or we've messed up so much that there's really no way He can truly make beauty from ashes. And I was telling someone just today here in Austin about how I crashed and burned in my life, and everything went up in smoke. And as the ash settled, I mean, if you think of it in a very literal term, ash is useless. It's disgusting. Mm-hmm. There's nothing beautiful about it. First of all,
devastation.
What can you do with it? You can't do anything with it. It has no really positive purpose. Ash is just ash. And when it rains, it's going to drizzle back into the earth, and there you go. But God really can make beautiful things out of that. And so my life did crash and burn, and everything sort of went up in smoke. And I lost my marriage, and I lost my house, and my health was failing, and there was health failing in my family. And I was being, you know, for the first time in my life, diagnosed as anxious and depressed and ADD and just all of it combined. You're just overwhelmed with feeling like I'm a complete failure, and I'm not lovable, and I'm messed up too much. And how can God actually turn this into something positive, because it feels so devastating? And I feel like God just sits back and says, oh, you have a little faith. You'll just trust me. I'll show you. And you know what? He did. I trusted him, and he showed me. And because of what he showed me, because of how beautiful the makings of that ash, what God is turned into beautiful is this restored marriage and this new home life and this new heart and a different perspective and just door after door after door opening to share. What God has done with us is infinitely more than I could have ever imagined. And because he did that with Ash, it's not just a responsibility that I have, but it's a privilege to be able to, whether it's speaking, performing, writing a book, doing an interview, whatever it is, to have the air to breathe that God is good and that there is always hope. Like, that is my privilege, and it's also my responsibility. And so, I look at catastrophe and crisis and sickness and pain and hurt and negative things. I look at them differently because I see them as an opportunity. I see them as a blessing that God entrusts people with. I don't think he causes those things. I don't think he allows those things. I think those things happen because we live in a fallen world and because God gave us something as beautiful as choice. I don't think we talk enough about that in the church, that God gave us choice. He doesn't force himself on us. And, you know, Adam and Eve, like, they chose to eat of the forbidden fruit. And they, you know, the story goes on and on and on. And so God didn't do that. And because I think if you imagine yourself in a relationship with someone, whether it's romantic or just in friendship, if there was a switch that you could turn that would make them love you, and then a switch that, you know, if it got turned differently, they wouldn't, it wouldn't be a very rewarding relationship, I would imagine. And it was,
right.
You know, it's something that I feel like God doesn't want to force himself on us. He wants us to choose him. He wants us to ask him to work in our life. He doesn't need our permission, but he wants it. And I think that when he gave us a choice and we make choices, there's natural consequences to choices. And sometimes those natural consequences are really painful. And sometimes the pain in your life is the natural consequence of someone else's decision that had nothing to do with you. It's not necessarily even a choice that you made. And I think that's where there's definitely a rub there when it's like, wait a minute, I didn't even make this choice, so why am I the one having to suffer? And so I don't think God's making you suffer. I think he's entrusting you with a moment and a circumstance and a situation to see him be victorious. He's entrusting you with that. And when you get to see him be faithful and when you get to see him be victorious, then you get to share that story and be used by him. And so I've come to, when I came to the end of myself through that season of my life, I realized that there's no greater honor or privilege or success in the world than to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you're being used by God. And it just makes everything pale in comparison. You quit forgetting about how you look and how much money you make and what your status is and if you're famous or not and if you're valued or loved. It's like, wait a minute, I know that I am loved by the one true God. And I know Francesca Battistelli is a friend of mine, and her song about I don't need my name in lights, I'm famous in my Father's eyes. Make no mistake, it's on his stage. And I called her recently and I said, that song is so special to me because it is so tempting in this world, much less if you have a career that puts you on some sort of elevated platform, whether you're a speaker or a performer or you're the president of a company or you're just, if there's anything in your life that somehow from our culture gives you this sort of upper hand, that makes, naturally can make you feel as though it's about you, and it is just not. It is not about you. And so when I really believed it, and I didn't just think it, I truly believed it and let that change me. It's made everything I do completely different. It's released me and freed me from so much that I was bogged down by before. It's like, oh God, I love you and I exist to breathe in your grace and let it change me and then breathe it out into the world and exhale. That's all it's about, just loving and serving people. And so fame and fortune, you can have it. You know, you can have it. I don't want it.
Right.
And if I even have a little bit of it, help me to use it faithfully and to give that back. And so I choose him, not because I have to, but because I want to now. And I think before now, I was choosing him because, you know, as a young child, I was scared of hell. As a, you know, young adult, I was scared of, you know, losing my parents' approval. And now I just turned 40 last week. And so now, just out of my 30s, it's like, I choose you because I want you, because I love you, and you have proven to be enough. So
now, Plum, you've had some really great reviews, and readers are really connecting with your story, Need You Now, A Story of Hope. It's very personal for you. And Amy Grant provided a great foreword to the book. And one thing that's consistent in the reviews and that we can all relate to is the ups and downs you've gone through, how real you are in your storytelling of your journey, about how you don't sugarcoat anything. Your book shows us that the true face of hope and how God's grace is limitless and restorative. And that when you feel something in your life, whether it's a broken marriage, a career, a relationship, or, you know, it doesn't mean it's all hopeless or beyond repair. And that's when a door closes, your faith can open a window. And that hope floats. And as you put it in your book, it's like oxygen, and we all need it to breathe. And, you know, I found myself alternating between laughing and crying as I read your book, and I'm sure others did as well. So did you have a sense beforehand how well-received your book would be, or that it would resonate so much with people in such an insightful way?
You know what? I had no idea. I just knew that it was truth, and it was my truth of my life, the truth of my life and my story, and I just knew that I could trust God with it. And so I just put it down there as nothing that I was going to write that he didn't already know and that he wasn't present during all of. And so it was like, hey, God, you know this story. And so I'm going to share it. And so please use it. And if that means five people buy a copy or 5,000 or 50,000 or 5 million, like, just use it to glorify you. Like, let the experiences of my life, the stories of my life, connect with people in a way that they will feel hope. And I've always felt like one of the most hopeful things is when, for instance, if you're driving down the road and you're going through something and a song comes on the radio or you hear someone say something on the radio about, for instance, if you just had your heart broken and you hear a song about complete heartbreak, and suddenly, even though you may not even be conscious of it sometimes, you feel a little more hopeful because you're not alone. Someone else has felt the way they feel right now. And so there's just, it's amazing to me, like when you're a little bit outside of a particular situation in your life, it's easy to say, oh, well, there's always hope. But when you're in a situation that feels hopeless, it is black as night. It is as foggy as,
yeah,
you know,
sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees.
You can't see, and that's when your faith comes in, because you have to believe in something you can't see. You cannot see through that fog or that black. You can't see how this marriage could be restored. You can't see how you're going to be healed. You can't see how you're going to come out of this with your finances. You can't see how you're ever going to be happy at this job. You can't see how this friendship could ever be redeemed. And you can't see it. But if you can trust God with it, and it's not, trust is a verb to me. I mean, it is an action. It is not a theory. It is not an emotion. It is a verb of trusting God. Sometimes means shutting up. Trusting God sometimes means not going with your feelings. Trusting God means sometimes being still. And James 1:19 says, be slow to speak and quick to listen and slow to anger. And it goes on to say that, and I had that written on my hand for 6 months while my husband and I were going through a divorce that we ended up, you know, obviously reconciling and remarrying each other. But during that season, I had to write that down on my hand because I was so quick to spout off at something that I was angry about or to say something negative, a fiery dart at him, because he was hurting me, so it made me feel better to hurt him. And so sometimes you hurt so bad that the only thing that numbs or dulls the pain is to just be mean back. And and so when I stopped doing that, you know, I definitely turned a camera on myself, and instead of, you know, putting it straight on my husband or straight, even still to this day, even, you know, instead of putting it on the circumstance, there's something going on in my life right now that is completely unrelated to music or my marriage. It's a mutual friendship that my husband and I have with someone that both my husband and I are very challenged as to, how do we handle this with grace? How do we handle this with forgiveness? How do we handle this? And it seems hopeless that, you know, this could come out in a positive way, but yet we look at each other and say, we are happily married and we were on the verge of divorce. So If God can do this, God can do anything. And so it's really shaped how we are as parents, how we are as people, how we are as Christians, how we are, how I am as an artist, and just in every aspect of my life. And so if you're listening to this and there's anything in your life or someone close to you in their life that they truly feel hopeless, when you feel hopeless and you give in to the belief that there is not hope, you compromise. And sometimes that means you walk away from something that you should have continued to fight for. Sometimes it means you just give in to a temptation and you look back with regret. And I will say this, you want to live with as little of that as you can, but I will say that because God's redemptive, you don't have to live in a lot of fear. You make decisions, and sometimes you make good ones, and sometimes you make bad ones, but you were doing the best that you knew, and then sometimes you make bad decisions knowing deep down in your heart what you were doing was wrong. And God forgives that. God redeems that. God could still use that, and God can start over with you right now. And it's just grace is so, it's a word, I think it's overused. How do I say this? It's overused in an uninterpreted way, that people don't really truly grasp its interpretation of what it truly means, what grace truly means. And it's just something you can't earn. You will never deserve, but it's free and it's infinite. And you think, well, that just doesn't seem fair, though. Like, why? I mean, how could someone do this? God forgive them and use it for his good. Like, how is that fair? And, we've all heard it. Life's not fair, but God is just. And so it just reshaped how I see everything, much less my marriage. So I'm just grateful that it's being received well. I will say that. But even if it was received, awful, I feel so confident in what I was presenting as something that was faithful to the story I get to tell. I believed wholeheartedly, and I still do, that what I wrote is this was me doing my best at telling the story that I've been privileged to tell, and that God is in it and that God is going to use it. And how everyone receives it is really of very little concern to me, but at the same time, when they receive it well, it's obviously a huge blessing.
Right. Now, before we go a little further, I'd like listeners to know that you're welcome to comment or ask questions. Our live chat session is open. You can call us at 646-200-4071. And, of course, after the show, I will post the podcast and Plum's recap blog to readersentertainment.com. For those listeners that want to learn more about Plum as we're chatting with her, you can check out her website at www.plummusic.net. And so, Plum, you in your story, I'd like to talk a little bit about your music. You've been very successful in multiple genres. Your songs are very soulful. And I know for me, they really tap into what I'm feeling. And how long did it take for you and your fellow band members to really gel as a unit? In your book, you talk about the amount of time that all of you are together and that you're a very close-knit family and that grace needs to abound. And as with any family, sometimes there are times when you all just don't get along. And if so, how do you get past those moments and get back in sync with each other?
Well, I think it's like any relationship. I mean, you have to give grace to each other, and sometimes that involves a little space. But we mean a lot to each other. I can't do this without them, and they are my family, and they have to be. And especially a chosen family, there's this element of ownership, because you've chosen them. I wasn't forced to use them as my band. Like, these are people that I chose and that chose me back, and so there's that comfort, just like in a family, that it's I guess a little different than blood family. You obviously didn't choose each other, but that there's this kind of this anchor that we are family, so there, that's not going to go away. But in a chosen family, there's this, like, you chose me and I chose you, and so that's got to be enough. And so often it is. And so that doesn't mean, you know, we don't argue or disagree about various things. But I think, you know, everyone that I work with, you know, tends to have a history in music somewhat equivalent to mine, in the sense of how much work and how much touring and, you know, how much that they have done. So you understand it, you get it, you're not working together, and then you have all these surprises of like, oh my goodness, I had no idea that this tour would be, you know, stressful. It's like, oh, we all know touring stressful. We all know that it involves being away sometimes. It's like everyone kind of has that same expectation. Mm-hmm. And you learn each other's quirks, and you learn that, you know, Tiffany, who is, you know, which is my real name, you know, I'm not a morning person, but, you know.
I understand.
My guitar player, he is very to himself, but at the same time, he is a morning person. He's one of the first people up. But you would think that he's not a morning person because of his personality. But, you know, on the contrary, he wakes up early, but he still really values time alone. And it's not, you know, it's not some shot at you that he doesn't want to be around you. He just, there's a mm-hmm. certain amount of the day that he kind of needs to refuel to be by himself. And, you know, our drummer, we kind of call each other cats and dogs and fish and birds and like different animals, because, you know, cats kind of do their own thing, and dogs, you know, really need to be around people. And, you know, fish, you know, are usually pretty slimy, and they're people you can't trust. And so we definitely look out for fish, but then sometimes, you know, birds are just really loud and annoying, but you love them because sometimes they help you rise. And so, you know, we will say you're being a bird right now, and I really need to be a cat. But it definitely makes the challenges of being out on the road and doing this for a living, it makes those things less, certainly less of a negative when you're with people that you love.
Now, you mentioned in your book that your album titles usually tie into what's happening in your life at that time. Does your latest album,
right,
Exhale, reflect kind of where you are in your life right now?
Yes, absolutely. I write, it's in my handwriting across the cover of the record. It says, we do not exist for us, but to share the grace and love so freely given to us all. We breathe it in, it changes us, and then we breathe it out, we share it, we exhale. And I go on to say that I have breathed in deeply, and it has changed me completely. It has healed my home. It has restored my heart. It has made me new. It has just changed so much about who I am. And so this record is me breathing that out, mm-hmm, and sharing that and exhaling. And so the whole record is just one huge exhale from the, you know, the smoke, from the crash and the burn and the smoke and the ash. God made it new, and I was able to breathe that in. And, you know, what do you think of when you think of crashing and burning and smoke? Like, do not inhale. Do not inhale.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what God turned that into, I could breathe in deep, and it actually be better than before. And so now I'm
mm-hmm.
I'm so thankful and blessed and privileged to breathe out. And so it was the most appropriate title, but it's titled after a song on the record called Exhale that's slated to be the first single that comes out here in a few weeks. But it speaks to the whole record, that sentiment speaks to the whole record.
Right. Now, one of the resounding truth throughout your novel, and we don't have much time, so I really want to get this in here, is that hope is always there. It's like the quote on the card your fan Brianna gave you. It bends like a reed in forceful winds.
Yes.
What's the one thing you'd like readers to take away from reading Need You Now?
Well, I always sign, there is always hope. And so I think I say it on one of the last pages, that no matter who you are, no matter where you're at, no matter what you've gone through, no matter what you've done, no matter what's been done to you, God is good and there is always hope. And if you believe that, then that sense of hopefulness can be with you as you go through each and every circumstance in your life, good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for someone to walk away from that, and I would say just right next in line to that would be to inspire people to share their story. It doesn't necessarily have to make it into a book and get published, because sometimes that seems too big. But your story, everyone has one, and it is worth hearing, it is worth sharing, and it might just be that it's over coffee with someone.
Mm-hmm.
But no matter what level it is equally important to share your story, no matter, you know, how big or small the arena may be. And, you know, again, that arena may be one-on-one with a person, you know, out for coffee, or maybe standing up in front of 10,000 people. But you have a story. God can use it. And there's no greater honor than to be used by Him. So share your story and do it with believing that the most important thing is that there's always hope.
Plum, I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. It has been such a pleasure and an inspiration having you with me this evening. I didn't get a chance to ask you everything, but we'll have to save that for another time.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it again. Let's do it again. Maybe
and
after.
Don't
maybe
forget,
after the, you know. Maybe after Cinco de Mayo, the record is out. We should talk.
Absolutely. And don't forget, listeners, that Plum's new album, Exhale, will release May 5th, and that her Ready Now tour will be kicking off in a few weeks. So make sure you go to her website, and that's www.plummusic.net to check out what's next for Plum. And I'd like to thank our listeners for joining us here at In Faith Network program. I definitely recommend that you pick up a copy of Need You Now, A Story of Hope by Plum. And there is something in there for everyone and some very helpful resources in the back of the book for anyone that may be going through a marriage crisis of their own right now.
Yes.
And
yes.
Definitely. It helped me a lot, and I know it will touch every soul out there that reads it. So definitely pick up Plum's novel.
It's on page one. It's on page 157. So if you read anything, just read page 157.
Absolutely, and there's a link on Readers Entertainment Radio, readersentertainment.com, on the top of the page where you'll find Christian Readers Radio and In Faith Network shows. I'll be adding the recap blog of Plum's show later this evening. If you'd like, you can leave a comment there about tonight's show. We'd love to hear from you. I am Lisa Watson, your host, saying be blessed, be inspired, and be happy. Thanks a lot, Plum, and you have a safe trip.
Thank you so much, Lisa. Thank you again.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.